Genesis 35. One way, if you listen to the tapes or the recordings of the messages, if you don't know which ones are recorded on Zoom and which ones are recorded at the church, when you hear that pleasant, well, that's here. Genesis 35, verse 9, this is number 10 in the series of the pre-incarnate appearances of Jesus. And so we come to another one, to Jacob, verse 9. Then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Paddan Aram, and he blessed him. And God said to him, your name is Jacob. You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name. Thus he called him Israel. God also said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come forth from you. The land which I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will give it to you. And I will give the land to your descendants after you. Then God went up from him in the place where he had spoken with him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that your visitations to us are to carry on the plan of redemption, which is from you and which you have guaranteed and promised and done in all things to accomplish. We're in the new covenant time of that plan, and we are now expecting the coming of Christ someday. It could be any day, but Lord, we are thankful that you appear, that you show yourself and speak and reveal and lead us to know you. We pray, Lord, that we would be guided by that, even in our witness and our living. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if any of you just this morning, before you came, you just rolled out of the bed and you were ready to come to church. As soon as you rolled out of the bed, you were ready. You didn't have to do another thing. Not one hair combed. And I've only got two to comb myself. Not any change. You could have put on your what you're wearing now, gone to bed, and just rolled out and went right on out to the car. We don't do that. I'm not saying it's never been done. But people tend to need to freshen up. And when I had hair, every once in a while, I would comb it. I didn't make a habit out of it. But if I combed it, I mean, I had enough to wear. As soon as I went outside and the wind blew a little bit, it was messed up again. What glorious memories those are. But so I would, if I, you know, had to go somewhere, I'd have to comb it again. My mom, she probably wouldn't want me to say this, but here it goes. At night, she would put on a white mask of noxzema. I've never done that. She did it. And, of course, we had to ask what was going on when first it appeared. She's keeping her skin moist because it has to be tended to. It has to be refreshed. So we do that. If you paint a wall, the best time for that wall is right after you finish painting it, because after it's up a while, it starts to fade from what it is at first. Time starts to make it degrade some, and the day will come when you have to do it again. One of the biggest shocks I got, we had this little brass cup. I think it was an award for a golf award my dad might have gotten. And my mom gave me this cleaner, this brass cleaner. And, you know, the thing had been there, and we didn't see that any change was taking place to this brass cup, trophy type of thing. I rubbed that brass cleaner on that, and it was like black and white different. The change was radical. It oxidizes or whatever it does. And that cleaner put it back to its original shine. I still remember that. I thought, wow, that is, we didn't, it just looked like, the, it looked the same day after day, but it had changed. So we refresh. There's a downward trend in things. You buy something new, it's not new forever. It gets old, and it needs to be refreshed. So in this passage, what do we see? As I read the passage, was there anything there that you'd seen before? Let me read it again. God appears, and he says to Jacob, your name is Jacob. You no longer be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name. We just saw that a couple of chapters back. So he called him Israel. And he said, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. Nation, a company of nations shall come from you. Kings shall come forth from you. We saw that when he said it to Abraham. And some to Isaac. And the land, I gave it to Abraham and Isaac, I'll give it to you. Same thing. There's nothing new here, but he says it again. And I thought that was interesting. Because the main purpose of the Lord appearing is to bring redemption along. There's a plan that God makes from eternity. He sets it forward in time. And from the time in the Garden of Eden all the way to the end, he superintends it like a supervisor looking over work that's being done and makes sure it gets to the end because it's the Lord's will, his zeal, to complete it. The mail comes by our house every day on the weekdays through Saturday. Their purpose is to deliver the mail. That's what they do. So that's, their main thing. This is the Lord carrying forth his zeal to carry forth his plan of redemption. So why does he say it again? Why mention it again? Your parents ever say to you, or grandparents, if I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. Well, what if they did tell you 1,000 times? Why did they do that? They might have said, do you think I talk just to hear myself speak? Well, they want you to hear it, and they repeat it. So why? Let me give you 3 reasons why. I mean, and again, the content is the same. The land, the descendants, the blessing of God, all nations being blessed through the patriarchs. Pointing to Jesus of the tribe of Judah coming forth from Israel. All of that is redemption. So why does he repeat? Well, first of all, because of internal assaults on us. Just like things in the world, our soul also must be nurtured continually. My job growing up, my chore, I had to take out the trash and sweep the front porch. You talk about a hard life for a young person to have to go through. So I sweep off the porch and take out the trash. And you know what the really bad thing about all that was, is that it was never done. I swept off the porch. And you know what happened? Stuff got on the porch again. And the trash, don't even get me started there. Take the trash out, and you know what the people in the family, my own family, would do? They'd put more trash in the trash can. So after a while, it's do it again. I've noticed it's the same here. I told Cindy, I said, if you quit putting trash in the trash can, I would quit having to take it out. It's just, it repeats. It constantly has to be done. So we have things in us that have to be tended to. The Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence. There were some plane crashes that have occurred because the filters on the fuel were faulty. And trash got into the fuel of an airliner, and it failed in flight. It was gummed up or mixed with trash, and it did not burn efficiently, and it stopped firing the engines, and the plane went down. We have filters. We're to keep our heart with all diligence. If you don't keep your heart, you will be, you know, taken down by unfiltered things that attack you on the inside. But the inside, we're to look unto Jesus. 1 Peter 2 says we're to long for the pure milk of the Word. That's so our insides would be nurtured. Also, it says the same thing for people who do not know the Lord. It says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. So that is, again, our inward condition. And when we have an opportunity, because of the inward condition, and this to the lost as well, to call upon the Lord while He may be found. Also, now the Bible emphasizes, now is the acceptable time, now is the day of salvation. If you were sitting in your house and heard a thud in the yard and looked out and there was a briefcase in the yard with an indentation in the ground where it fell from the sky, how long would you take to go and look? Would you jot it down in your day timer? Thursday, this is Monday. Maybe Thursday morning I can get out there, see what's in it. Because you know what's in it. It's either drugs or cash. And if it's cash, you might want to have a look in there. Well, salvation is a much more precious gift. It lasts for eternity. And it's not drugs. But the Bible says with the offer of salvation, you do it now because you never know when the chance will come again, when the Lord is maybe not near. Now, the number of characteristics that fit into this this point of internal assaults upon us, the first one I would mention is neglect or forgetfulness. As we get older, we forget. We forget more. It takes more for us to remember. I notice kids have that problem too, though, so I'm not sure why we blame all old people for it. But there is a willful forgetfulness, a willful neglect. The Bible commands us to remember. You can't command a physical memory, a natural memory, because you might not, you know, remember that. But the Bible says we have to remember these things and not forget them and don't neglect them. When the Bible gives us something of a promise, we have to hold on to that. We're responsible to that. When I was in college, junior year, I had Greek. I took Greek under Dr. Klein. I took Greek the next year under Dr. Belcher. And we had to, in first year of Greek, learn the declensions of the nouns and the verbs in OI, SI, AMINET, USI, OMAET, AMINETHES, ANTI, ON, ESE, AMINET, ON. I still remember them. But if you did not go through it, we had 6 weeks at Christmas. We got out at Thanksgiving. Before Thanksgiving, we went back in January, unless you had short quarter. By January, if you did not work on your Greek over the break, it was gone. And I think most of us lost a good bit of it over that time. But you have to remember. And so, things naturally fade. A lot of people went to vacation Bible school when they were kids. They learned Bible verses, sang Bible songs, grew up and forgot all about it. Maybe even raise their hand when someone said, "You want to go to heaven?" And they raised their hand and it's all gone. In the fifth grade, we got Gideon Bibles. Set the whole fifth grade on fire, honestly. I remember Miss Witt, my teacher. I know where the room was. Gideon's came, gave out Bibles. We got Bibles. We started a Christian club. That little red New Testament. We started a Christian club. We were all talking about reading the Bible. I don't remember what he said, but we got Bibles. We were all excited about it. Well, that was gone pretty fast. It made some impact. I'm not saying it didn't. The seed was sown. Helped some of us. But you see, it naturally fades unless you keep up with it. Ladies are checking their makeup. Why do ladies do that? I've seen in TV and movies, let me go powder my nose. What's that about? Powdering your nose. I never have thought my nose needed to be powdered. But apparently it's something to do. And why do you do it? I guess it's a refreshing thing. Your nose needs powder. You're out there in the world, and the powder blows off. So you got to powder it again. So one thing that reason God tells us things repeats us, because we neglect. We forget. We let it go. We let it pass. The second reason is ill-placed self-confidence. Some people say, just start me in the right direction. I can close my eyes and just get there. We've played games like that, close your eyes and look at something, close your eyes and walk toward it and see it. You veer off usually. NASA is constantly checking their course. When they went to the moon, you check the course. When you go on the space shuttle, you check your course. You fire satellites, you check the course. Because on a long trip, you need mid-course corrections or you will drift off. We're the same way. And so God repeats things to us so that we are brought back in line. And in this passage, really, he's telling the same thing, to keep him encouraged in his life. Jake is moving around. He comes from Paddan Aram. What does the Lord say? Same thing. Your name is no longer Jacob. It's Israel. About the land, about his promises, about who he is. This is what the Lord does. Because we lose it. We all know we didn't try to have it done. It was done after the church was built. We built, people came and built the church, and we were here. A lot of you were here at the very beginning, and somehow back there in that door as you're going in and out, I know we didn't put it there, but there's a memory eraser on the frame of that door. And you hear it here, and you walk out, and you hit the concrete out there, and it's gone. What happened? The memory eraser. And if you go out the back door, there's one back there too. But the one over here is one you use more. There's one over here too. If you crawl out the window, they got them on those too. I don't know where you go, but you got to hang on to it or it'll be swept off. And so the Lord does in this passage, he says, remember basically. Here's what it is. So that's the first thing, because of internal assault. Well, the second is because of external assaults. We have a double whammy on us. It's scary enough that there is within us things which would lead us to destruction. That people have within us things that we will do and hurt ourselves in doing them. But add to that the fact that there is an external attack upon us. Now, the Lord has to do the work to make us stay true to him. He gives us a new heart and a new mind when we're saved. We're to have courage in him. We're not to conform to the world. We're salt and light. But there are obstacles in this, in the outside world, that lead us to abandon truth. When I was growing up, I spent time in the woods. Y'all probably spent more than I did. But I'd go up to the ridge, we called it, and I'd go up there, and there were paths up there. But getting through the woods, you got to dodge around things and little limbs and trees and branches. But then there's also briars. Briars will grow up and go across a path, and you'll walk right into it. It'll get on your legs. That's a double whammy. And the world gives us that. The first outward assault we get is from people. People, I don't think there's ever been a time, at least that I can remember, in study of history, where we have so much influence from what other people think in other parts of the world. Because this is really the first time in, as far as technology goes, that we could find out what other people think in all the world. And it makes a big impact on people. People will put pressure on you. I've told you before, I think. Calvin Wilkerson, he was a short guy in the first grade, but he had that was my first gang in the first grade. I don't know what we called ourselves, but he said we had to look mean. So I went around with my eyes down like that. Don't you get messing with me in the first grade. We were mean. See, that was what we had to show. We had to show that we were mean. And that, from just what he did, little Calvin Wilkerson, he got us all doing that. Seems odd now, but this happens all the time in the world. People are shamed, ostracized, slandered, canceled, twisted, pushed to do whatever. The Bible says evil company corrupts good morals, and there's pressure put upon us by people. Following the crowd seems like the safe way. The Bible says, broad is the path, the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that find it. That's a people problem on the outside. Second would be the devil. Do you think we'll have mosquitoes this year? And gnats? You expect them? Do you think this year might be the year the mosquitoes said, you know, we did this last year, let's just take a year off? And the gnats, these baseball-sized, I'm not going to go out there and do that this year. They're just swatting us. Let's just take time off. Mosquitoes and gnats, pestilence. The devil is like that and worse. He walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, the Bible tells us. He tricks and deceives. He tempts and then accuses us of following his temptation. And his job is a lot easier these days because no one believes him anymore. And the devil does his work. He's the god of this age. And we're to take our due vigilance about what his work, because he is very successful at it. The third would be the world. The world is the most direct material system, physical system that the world is afflicted by, this world system that is evil. We're not to love the world, because you can't love the world and love God. And the system is under the power of the devil. And in Revelation, it's the beast, Babylon, the beast. The world system is a beast. It is a beast. The beast of this world system is ruthless, mean, threatening. It wants you to conform. If you don't conform, it will threaten you, threaten your money, threaten your family, even threaten your pets. The world system is ruthless as the devil who runs it. So there's these external attacks to get us to not listen to God. So he comes back and says, I'm the Lord. I'm God Almighty. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to build you up. I'm going to bless you. Keep your eyes on me. Why? Internal, external. And one other reason. Because of the love of God. God's love. Why would God tell us something over and over again? Well, the highest reason is the mind of God, the love of God, his zeal for his good pleasure, and his mercy and compassion on those who are condemned to destruction. The Lord sees into eternity. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And because of that, we tend to put a good spin on it. I think we're going to be okay. We don't know. It's good. I like a positive attitude. But people who don't know the Lord have a positive attitude about eternity. They think it's going to be fine. And the Lord sees all the way into eternity. And what the Lord sees moves him to repeat over and over those things that we need to hear because of the consequences of unbelief. I watched a movie a long time ago, TV movie, starring Dennis Weaver. It's called Duel, D-U-E-L. Very tense movie. It's about a truck chasing, I think it was a Dodge Dart or something, that Dennis Weaver had. And for some reason, it's never told. I'm giving you the whole thing here. But he was chasing Dennis Weaver. Dennis Weaver tried to get rid of him, thought he'd get rid of him. Then he'd come around a curve, and there he was waiting for him. Before all that started, Dennis Weaver stopped his Dodge at the gas station, and the gas station attendant said, you know, you need a fan belt. And Dennis Weaver said, where have I heard that before? Some tourists fly through, you replace a fan belt, charge me whatever. No, just forget it. Well, guess what happened while he was running away from his truck going up a hill? Fan belt popped. Well, that guy only told him one time at the station. I mean, if it was like the Lord does, he would have told him 150 times. You need a fan belt. Maybe Dennis Weaver would have gotten it. If he'd had the fan belt, the movie would have ended a long time before it did. And nobody would have gotten hurt. I'll let you find the movie if you want to see it. But somebody got hurt. If he'd have gotten a fan belt, that would not have happened. The Lord says, get a fan belt. The Lord says, listen to me. When men don't care for their souls, God still does. And the awful horrors of hell are acutely manifest to the Lord who knows all things. And the Lord knows how quickly we become hardened. You know, people don't believe in hell. Preachers a lot of times don't believe in hell. It's too awful. God would never do that. But you see, the Lord Jesus sees all into eternity. He knows all things. And he knows how much collateral damage occurs due to being alienated from God. So he tells over and over. I'm told that caffeine is bad for you. Have you ever been told that? I think it depends on the year. Sometime it might be good for you. I don't drink coffee, but I've had enough caffeine to drink to sink a small battleship, most likely. And so when I hear that caffeine is bad for you, you know what I do? I drink more caffeine. If I tell you that coffee with caffeine is going to drive you into the grave early, you'll go, who drink coffee? That's awful. And you'll have a couple of cups in the morning. The Lord speaks against our natural tendency to ignore truth. And the love of God provides Christ in the gospel and repeats it so that we'll get it. Now, those who love us repeat important things to us. My mom used to tell me over and over, stand up straight. I was slouching. So my posture today is due to repeated, I never slump now, is due to repeated admonitions from my mom to stand up straight. So just like previously, she would say, have you bathed? And I said, well, I really didn't get dirty when I was out playing in the yard in the heat of the summer. Have you bathed? So we learned to bathe. You know, I bathed already this morning. I hope I'm not being too personal. This is something I do every day. We bathe. I saw a Charlton Heston Western one time, and some lady asked him how often he bathed. And he said, well, I don't know, you know, 7-8 times. He said, a month? He said, a month? A year? But, you know, I got that from my mom. She said things to me because she loved me and wanted me to be in the best light, to look both ways before crossing. So don't talk to strangers. Say please and thank you. Down here, I hear you all the time saying, say sir to these young people. They learn that. God does this with the gospel. He sends his servants all through the world. You know, God sends some of his servants to death just to proclaim the gospel to people who reject it. That is God repeating in love, patiently enduring and suffering long those who reject him. Jesus sought the thief on the cross even at the very last minute. I mean, he really was at the very last minute for him to be saved. Well, let's apply this. Why does God repeat? Because of us, because of them, and because of God. But one final touch-up I need to say is that God is the one in power here. God is the one who saves, and all the Lord has chosen from eternity will be saved. God isn't begging, nor is it proper to say that we have all the power because God is appealing to us to be saved. God is not appealing because of weakness. We're the weak ones. God is appealing because this is the way he calls his elect. God calls his elect this way. He brings the gospel to them. He preaches the gospel to them. If they're blessed, they get it a lot of times. There are people in the world who've never heard it. And by proclaiming it over and over again, it doesn't always take over and over. God works in the heart and draws a person to Christ. And no one can come to me, Jesus said, unless the Father who sent me draws him. The power is all with the Lord. But this is the way God calls his elect. So we're to cast ourselves upon his persistent mercy when we have the opportunity. I don't have one of these, but cars today have, Sequel's car has one, has a warning if you stray from your lane. You get off in the other lane, what does it do? Beep, 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 beep. Or off the road. And some cars, I don't know that yours does this, will actually put the brakes on for you. You're running up 50 miles an hour into that garbage truck, it'll stop. That's pretty fancy. Because it's protecting you. Your car doesn't love you. Your car is only keeping itself from being destroyed. We know that. But it's acting for your benefit. When God refreshes to us his promises, they're persistent warnings that we must heed to come to the Lord, to rest in the Lord, to stay focused on the Lord. You know what Jacob did after he got this message? I didn't get that far. But it says, if you look down farther, that after the Lord went up, Jacob, verse 14, set up a pillar in the place where he had spoken with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured out a drink offering on it. He also poured oil on it. So Jacob named the place where God had spoken with him Bethel. He cleared off a spot and made a monument and worshiped God. He made it a significant place. He valued it. Most, honestly, most will not do that. And most Southern Baptists gathering today in churches will hear things that need to be applied. They will not do it. They will not apply it. They're looking at their watches right now. When is that preacher going to stop? But you see, this is the Lord loving, caring for us, warning us, and keeping us from internal, external assaults to make us cling to the Lord and love Him. Let's pray. Lord, you're good to us to be the way you are. Yes, we're very stubborn and ignorant and blind. But Lord, if we will listen to you, we know, Lord, that no person has any guarantee of getting any more than the call we get in the Gospels. And it doesn't have to come ever. But when it comes, Lord, may we see people heeding it, for it quickly passes away. And may, Lord, you reap a great fruit among us as we heed your word. In Jesus' name.